Hello, life bookers around the world, and welcome to this month's Life Notes, moving you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jordan River, and you are now listening to the Life Note, The Opposite of Spoiled, by Ron Lieber, summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, let's begin with a quote. I want to help all of you recognize that every conversation about money is also about values. Allowance is also about patience. Giving is also about generosity. Work is about perseverance. Core concept. The opposite of spoiled, subtitled Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money, tackles the important but often overlooked topic of teaching kids about money. Conversations about money are often taboo, and there are misconceptions that drives this lack of conversation. But without these conversations, kids miss out on important lessons that could influence their financial attitudes and behaviors in the long term. Author Ron Lieber is a New York Times personal finance columnist and drew upon his financial expertise and role as a father to create this excellent guide for parents. You'll be inspired to develop your own philosophies about how to embrace the topic of money with your kids, and you'll also learn some practical tips for dealing with everything from allowances to part-time jobs to challenging questions. Big thoughts we'll take a look at include why talk with kids about money, how to answer money questions kids have, three containers, savings, giving, and spending, teaching kids about why work is important, managing materialism and learning gratitude, and finally, teaching smart spending to kids. We are so excited to review this outstanding book with you, so let's dive right in. Why talk with kids about money? The importance of conversations. Quote, so take yourself back to those moments when a parent could have enlightened you about money but didn't, or when they were whispering so you couldn't hear. How did it make you feel? And do you want your kids feeling the same way? To know innately that money is important, but also utterly off limits as a topic of conversation? End quote. Given how many years of our life we spend in the pursuit of money, it seems logical to make sure that what kids learn about money will serve them well throughout their lives. Yet, despite that logic, little or no attention is given to the topic of money in school. It's often the same at home and in our communities. The author explains that one reason that the subject of money isn't discussed at home is that there's a fear that the conversations will produce money-grubbing kids. He goes on to say that, quote, it's as if it were somehow dirty and not an essential part of daily life. End quote. But in fact, money is a part of daily life. And rather than the conversations leading to kids that are spoiled, these conversations can instead lead to kids who are the opposite of spoiled, hence the title of this book. Lieber argues that teaching kids about money is a great way to help instill certain core values such as generosity, perseverance, thrift, and other great values. These types of virtues, once embraced, can then lead to kids who are in fact the opposite of spoiled. When you teach kids to set aside a portion of their allowance for giving to others, that's an amazing opportunity to teach them this important value. This insightful book will help you to embrace the idea that having conversations about money with kids can be truly beneficial. But how do you answer those tricky questions that kids ask? Let's take a look at that next. Money questions kids have, how to answer them. Quote, money is a part of everyday life, and it's one of those things that many humans value most. So of course children are going to seek out information about it any way they can. End quote. As a journalist, Ron Lieber is perhaps more comfortable than most of us are in asking and answering the tough questions. So he started to capture some of the more common questions kids have that often leave their parents a little tongue-tied. Here are a few. Are we poor? Are we rich? Are we going to have to move? How much money do you make? And there are, of course, many more. The author helpfully outlines specific suggested answers to each of these questions, which you can and will certainly modify based on your own situation. A favorite tip in the book for how to begin answering these questions is to respond with a question of your own. Why do you ask? Your kids might be asking if you're rich simply because you just bought a new car when their friend's family did not. Often this question is asked in relation to something about one of their friends or about a classmate, explains Lieber. If a parent loses their job, their kid will likely have an understandable concern about how that job loss will impact them. Will they have to move away from their school or their friends? What are the implications? There are many other questions kids have, which are such common knowledge for you that you may have forgotten that kids don't yet know these things. So take some time, with the help of The Opposite of Spoiled, to brush up on questions that kids might have about money and how best to answer those. Also consider not waiting until they ask the questions. You can create a strategy around teaching your kids about money that proactively addresses the questions that they might have in the future. This helps to create an environment where it's safe to discuss money. If you haven't already integrated the topic of money into the parenting section of your life book, you may find it useful to use this book as a catalyst to do so. You likely will spend a tremendous amount of time and energy earning and saving for your child's education and for their future. So be sure that you're also educating them about money so that your efforts don't go to waste. Three containers: savings, giving, and spending. Quote, "In my family, we divide the allowance into three plastic containers, one each for spending, giving, and saving. This is, in effect, a first budget. Splitting the money introduces them to the idea that some money is for spending soon, some we give to people who may need it more than we do, and some is to keep for them for when we want or need something later." End quote. The idea of delayed gratification can be tricky to teach kids, but it's an important lesson for them to learn. As a parent, walking down the toy aisle with kids can be a nightmare if they haven't yet learned that they can't have everything they want just because they want it. Lieber shares his practical advice to use three separate containers to teach kids how to allocate their money, using a values-based approach. As mentioned earlier, the three containers include one for spending, one for giving, and one for saving. Even when young, kids can begin to see their savings container beginning to fill up and learn the value of having more later. And teaching them to be generous and give can also instill generosity and appreciation early in their life. In the author's own household, he mentions that for the spending container, they don't put many rules on how it can be spent. Rather, they consider it kind of a mad science experiment to see what choices are made. You'll need to sort out your own rules, of course. If candy or video games are off limits in your house, you can set those ground rules up front. But if you're too restrictive, consider that kids might miss out on some valuable lessons to learn from their own choices, both the good and the bad. The three containers approach can be a fun and engaging way for your kids to see their money grow and to learn to put it to the best use. Why work is important. Kids and work. Quote, "What our kids can learn from paid employment is a work ethic, that loose phrase that captures the ability to listen, exert ourselves, cooperate with others, do our best, and stick to a task until we've done it and done it right." End quote. Should teens get a part-time job, or are they better off taking on a sport or some other activity? This is one of the questions that parents at times need to consider. Lieber offers up some arguments for why part-time work can be very helpful to teens, and one of the reasons is that it can get them to develop grit. Grit is a term most recently popularized by Angela Duckworth, a professor and author who has done some interesting research on grit. Duckworth found out through her research that grit can even outweigh IQ in predicting superior performance. If you have grit, this staying power can be enormously valuable to your future success. And even before kids are of legal work age, they can certainly learn to take on chores and responsibilities at home. Developing a strong work ethic can be integral to character building, and fostering this work ethic often begins early on in life. Whether you choose to encourage entrepreneurship with your kids through activities such as lemonade stands or snow shoveling, or through encouraging part-time work when they are old enough to do so, the values instilled by encouraging this work can be quite foundational. Managing materialism. A gratitude practice can begin early. Quote, "So how do parents begin to define what constitutes an appropriate number of possessions and experiences? We all want to make up our minds and do what feels right, but everything we do happens against a backdrop of whatever is going on in our particular communities." End quote. If you do have the means to buy more than the necessities for your kids, how do you determine just how much is enough? And how do you foster gratitude within your kids so they can begin to appreciate what they do have? These are just a few of the topics that Lieber tackles. He references a very interesting research study that indicated that kids as young as 3 years old could start to distinguish in pictures between the haves and the have-nots. So parents may need to realize that attitudes about socioeconomic status can be formed very early in life. By having conversations early, parents have the opportunity to instill gratitude early on in their children, so they don't grow up to be overly materialistic or spoiled, even if their parents are relatively well off. Lieber also mentions the impact of social media, which is now also influencing attitudes and perhaps fostering wants for the latest trendy clothes or vacations that kids see their peers or role models enjoying. He shares a number of ideas in The Opposite of Spoiled for fostering more gratitude, whether it's saying grace or thanks before meals, or getting additional perspective through playdates or field trips that expose kids to more diverse backgrounds. What creative ideas do you have for fostering more gratitude within your kids? Is there a daily habit or ritual you would like to add to your family activities? Is there an opportunity to involve your kids in a spring cleaning where you donate some of your extra possessions to family in need? Or is there a 5K run you can do as a family and raise money for a favorite charity? Consider how you might build more gratitude into your family, and you'll likely find a happier family as you do. Teaching smart spending to kids, a value-based approach. Quote, "It's one of the central questions of human happiness, productivity, and prudent financial planning, whether you're Bill Gates or down to the last dollar of each month. How much is enough?" End quote. The author points out that kids aren't really good at practicing self-restraint. It's something that they have to learn. If the cookie jar is full of cookies, kids need to learn that it's not acceptable to eat the whole jar in one go. It's the same with spending. Kids need to learn limits. And beyond just learning limits, kids also need to learn the link between spending and values. How does your spending reflect your values? Lieber advises parents to, quote, "try to identify categories where you spend the most discretionary money and consider which of the objects and outings brought you the most joy," end quote. If family vacations contribute incredible joy and great memories to your family, should you be allocating more of your budget towards more vacation time and spending less somewhere else that isn't of value? This important lesson of spending based on your values is central to another great book we love called Your Money or Your Life by Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. Check out the Life Note on that as well. In that book, you learn valuable tools to carefully track your spending and then to deliberately shift your future spending based on clear priorities and values in a systematic way. Teaching kids this lesson about prioritizing their own spending is a lesson that can serve them well for their whole life. Sure, they can buy that small toy now, but if they save their money instead, they can buy something of much greater value later. Or they can donate it to someone in need or a cause that they believe in. These are trade-offs kids need to learn to make. Consider that kids are spending countless hours during years of schooling learning about everything but money. What will you do as a parent to help fill that huge gaping information void? Take some time to build your own strategies in this important area. You'll likely be very, very glad that you did. There's a lot more to learn and other important lessons for kids in The Opposite of Spoiled, so be sure to go deeper into this as you read through the entire book. We highly recommend this book as a great resource for how to engage in conversations with kids about money, including answering some of the more challenging questions your kids might have. To learn more about The Opposite of Spoiled and Ron Lieber's other works, go to www.ronlieber.com. That's www.ronlieber.com. We hope that you found this Life Note to be inspiring and insightful. Thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you soon. Until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.